Hi, everyone. Welcome to the October 13th, 2020 Platinum Call. October 13th. It's just amazing. We have lots of new folks on tonight, so I'm glad you could join us. The way we usually run the call is that it is first come, first serve. You're welcome to unmute and ask a question. And then I had a couple questions mailed in to me. I have to pull them up, but we will tackle those as the conversation allows. So I will start by turning it over to you guys.
Gail, this is Celeste. Yeah. I'm in a panic.
Why?
Calcium citrate is like, I can't get what I usually get, which is that bulk supplements. And I get like a 1.1 pound bag, and I go through it so much with some of my dogs. But Amazon doesn't have it anymore. I mean, they're just like out. They're doing calcium, magnesium, and things like that. But then I went to the bulk supplement website, and I ordered some, and it's a postage stamp size almost. I mean, it's like only 3 ounces. I know.
They don't have a 1 pound anymore?
No, they don't. And I just looked it up, and they got everything crossed out except the little bitty bag. Is there another?
I wonder what's going on.
I don't know, but I'm panicking. And
it's kind of like, don't try and get pumpkin right now for your dogs. It's a similar problem. So let me see. So it looks like Solaray has some from Vitamin Shop.
Is it like in a little jar? Is it a jar type thing?
It's capsules. Like,
oh, capsules?
It's capsules.
How do you do that? Doesn't capsules take longer to work?
Yeah, but you can always open them. Just open them.
Well, I'm going to be opening up a heck of a lot of capsules.
I know. I'm looking to see. I can't believe bulk supplements is.
I'm going to try to give them a call tomorrow and find out what the heck is going on, if I can find
them. Yeah, if there's, one of the raw materials suddenly is being used for something else.
I just looked on Amazon, and you can get calcium citrate powder in a little, in a jar, at least. It's maybe not the huge size you normally get, but you don't have to open capsules. I it turned out to be a ridiculous link, but I did just put it in there just so you
in
see
the chat.
It.
Yeah, I saw that.
But wait, the link. I don't know what that is, but I just looked
at. You should be able to just clip it at unflavored. Can you see it, Celeste?
Calcium citrate powder unflavored. I just literally searched while you were saying that, and at least you can get a little jar.
I've seen that. I don't know if it's pure calcium citrate. I know the other stuff I was getting is pure.
What about your pharmacy?
Oh, that's a good idea, Barb.
Like a human pharmacy?
Yeah. Or Walmart. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought of that.
Okay. I know. Who goes to human pharmacies?
Yeah, I mean, I never find anything there, much less for me. Okay.
Yeah, I would do both of those things. And then, so let's put it on the list and see if anybody has some, if they're not breeding for a while, they might be willing to send it off to you. Because it's sort of the same thing with Toltrazurol. I can't remember who I shipped some off to because I wasn't breeding for a while. So I'd rather it not go bad. Not that calcium citrate's going to go bad.
No, and the Toltrazurol, I can never pronounce that.
Toltrazurol, yeah.
Yeah, they did something different to it. It's now really, really liquidy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really thin. I mean, Tracy and I were talking about it. She went and got it from Australia.
Wow.
And it's gone up hugely in price. I'm actually using that something different. Starts with a P. It's a compounded thing.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is it stops the diarrhea. That's the Tolter Zero did not stop the diarrhea until.
Oh, well, that's yeah. great. Revival carries that. Pond something.
Pantrazil.
Pantrazil.
Yeah.
I think it's Panazuril.
Panazuril?
I think I remember them saying that a long time ago. But, you know, like all these names are made up, so how do you know how to say them? And where are they in the book?
I know. Talk took me a while. It's like a tongue twister. And thanks, Trish.
Celeste, maybe you could try your vet, and they have access to their pharmacies.
I will actually do that. I'm going there in a couple days because I'm going for my, you know, mega amounts of B4. And
oh, yeah. You're ready to start. You know, I think this is a really good general comment, though, that preparing ahead of time, not that Celeste doesn't because she's got the best lists ever, but making sure that we have enough as we go into these breedings, because I'm going to give you a quick warning here. As the COVID vaccine comes online, there's a really high likelihood we are not going to be able to get syringes, needles, and the other things that we need for puppy vaccines. Because to get the 600 million doses, 660 million doses we need in the United States, it's going to completely take out all of our supplies. That's the limiting factor right now, are the supplies. So it's Adjuvant, which doesn't affect most of us. So Adjuvant goes into Lepto, it goes into the killed vaccines. It doesn't go into Parvo and Distemper. So I don't think Parvo and Distemper will be affected in the vaccine manufacturing, but I do think that the needles and the syringes, and unfortunately the vials, are going to be moved into either humans or into livestock. And small animals are concerned that we may have a year or so where we're going to have trouble getting syringes and stuff. So get your vaccinations early as we go into this, and you know, you can make sure you can protect your puppies. So, because you can always take syringes into your vet if your vet can't get them. You know, if you think about it, at the beginning of COVID, our vets couldn't get PPE. That's why they wouldn't see us, because they couldn't get surgical masks. They couldn't get those things. So if you have them, you can always take them into your vet and have them give the vaccination if you don't want to give it. But if we don't have needles and syringes, we're not going to be vaccinating our puppies. And that's going to be a pretty scary time. I was just going through the supply chain with a vaccine expert who's a human vaccine expert. And I mentioned to him livestock and small animals, if they hadn't even calculated that into any of the figures for these vaccine manufacturers. So word of warning, get calcium citrate. Pumpkin, not a shot you're going to get it right now. Go to your store and get it, but it's not coming in off of Amazon very easily. And vaccination stuff. And, you know, vaccines last about 3 years if you keep them refrigerated. So you may want to stock up if you've got pups coming. And just get them situated in your house so that you've got them set. So.
Yeah, I went and bought, I've got thousands now of syringes and stuff, because not only do I need syringes for shots, but I need it for deworming. I go through a huge amount for deworming. And
you're not injecting them.
No, but they're the... Yeah. You know, the syringes for yep. to go in the oral, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Those will be gone, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would say, you know, one cc's, three cc's are going to be really hard to get. The big ones probably aren't going to be a problem, except all the manufacturing is going to go to the ones and the threes. You know, you figure we're going to need 6 billion vaccinations, which includes the vial, the needle, the syringe to vaccinate the world. And there isn't close to that right now. So anyway, not to be gloom and doom, but I think if we're prepared, we're going to be much better off right now. Yeah, Daryl's asking about the pumpkin shortage. Firm Up is still available. Firm Up's good. It's a lot more expensive than canned pumpkin, but it works. And all it is dehydrated pumpkin and a few other things. So it's great stuff. But every fall, the pumpkin shortage hits as we begin to hit Thanksgivings, Canadian and American, and pumpkin pies and pumpkin spice and pumpkin latte and all the pumpkin things. And there goes our pumpkin supply. So I actually have it on constant order with Amazon. They just ship me a case every month. And a friend of mine started sending me notes at the beginning of last month. She's like, Amazon canceled my subscription. They're not sending it to me. And I had just gotten mine. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. I must be a higher priority. And then I started getting the notes about 2 weeks ago that Amazon's not shipping pumpkin in. So yeah, and it is Halloween time. You can absolutely buy pumpkins, stew them up, smash them. That's certainly possible. I go through a lot of pumpkins, but yes, that's fine. And you can freeze it. It's great. You can, and it doesn't take many on the big pumpkins to have your pumpkin supply. Cool. So Celeste, I don't know if you saw Janet also put a Herb Store USA link in the chat for 5 kilos of calcium citrate. Instapot. I don't have an Instapot, but it's a good idea.
Oh, that is so awesome. Thank you. I mean, that's like a last me for many, many litters.
There you go. You're good to go.
All right. I am getting that. Woohoo!
5 kilos?
5 kilos.
I don't know, but it's a big...
Doesn't it say? The link is 5 kilos, so I'm assuming 10 pounds of calcium. Oh my gosh, it's a box.
Damn.
Wow.
I love that. I love it. Oh, I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Janet.
There you go. Okay. Excellent. It's like you're the dealer. Watch those white powders, Celeste. The cops are going to be coming for you.
Okay. Gail, I have a question since I popped on late. Sorry.
Hi, Tracy.
Hello. I might have missed this whole conversation since y'all are talking about, you know, 5 kilos of white powder. But I'm just curious, since I only have 2 tubes of the old Oracal and 3 litters coming up. Kelsey, I don't know that we went back and talked about what you guys use during whelping. I know that Celeste made up her own calcium citrate, and I'm actually going to do that in a paste form. But was just curious what
the end. Yes. So you guys chime in, because I've just really not heard good things about the new revival product, sadly. And who was saying that Healthy Bones may be affected as well, which is real.
That was real, me. That was me. It's doing
no, nothing. It's doing nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Wow. I mean nothing.
I don't know why Revival did this. They were such great products. You know, like, it's a great example of don't fix what isn't broken. And they were 2 great products. So, Kelsey, what did you guys use during whelping? Did you use the new product or?
I bought the new Oral-Cal, and it's like water consistency. So it was not easy to get into the dog. I ended up buying bulk calcium carbonate and making slurry out of that, because that's what the old Oral-Cal was made of.
And it worked. I mean, yep. You got 18 puppies out in a short period of time, relatively speaking.
Yeah, I mean, we did have some vomiting, but that might have happened anyway, so.
Yeah, hard to tell. So you did calcium carbonate. Celeste, you did the Oral-Cal. Has anybody else tried either of them up till now?
I did Oral-Cal.
No. I use Calzorb, you know, which is what Dr. Cindy gives me. So that until I discovered the Oral Cal Plus, I was doing Calzorb in the syringes and stuff, but you know, not for everyday use, but during whelping.
Yeah, that's what I've always used. It's nasty stuff, but
yeah, that makes my girls vomit.
Oh, do you guys throw up with it? Mine don't throw up, but they clearly, you know, they spend a lot of time trying to spit it out. Aaron's
for normal for normal use, I use the bulk supplements calcium citrate.
Yeah, but what about during whelping? When Deb, did you use?
I used the bulk supplements mixed in with ice cream.
Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah, I don't know if there's a great solution right now, Tracy, except make your own slurry. Has anybody tried it with like chicken or beef stock? Mixing it for rather than just with straight water so that it's a little bit more palatable?
Yes, I did. And chicken stock. Well, not chicken stock, but chicken broth.
Broth, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I just kept it in the syringe. I made like five, I made like eight of them up and put them in a, just had them right there. And all I had to do is shake it. And then it worked just fine.
Oh yeah, I have great ideas of how I'll do it. It's just, I
could like, be nice not to have to.
Dang it, this is only gonna get me through one of the 3 liters, so, oh well.
I've been smashing my pills and mixing them with applesauce, and that seems to be very popular.
They like the applesauce.
Mm-hmm. And my dog is, I've been hand feeding my dog for the last few weeks. And so that's something that's something. And she actually, I leave it by her pen, and she actually ate some on her own the other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great suggestion as well.
That's what we do with horses. Everything in applesauce.
Yeah, but they're horses. It just seems like it would be much more attractive to a horse than a dog, but hey, whatever works, that's great. Terrific. There's some suggestions. Yeah, so
I also put it in mother's pudding.
Pudding. Yeah.
Mix it in the mother's pudding that I make up. So
Aaron mentioned Nature's Way liquid calcium, which I'm looking at right now. So it's calcium citrate, and it has some vitamin D3, but not a huge amount. So I don't think, except it's got the vitamin D in micrograms, not IU. So I would have to do the translation to see. And Renee's talking about Nature's Pharmacy has a calcium paste. So there are some suggestions. We'll put them on the Facebook page. And, you know, everybody chime in because it's kind of sad to lose the Revival product, but it sure is not getting great reviews right now. Hopefully they'll go back.
Yeah, I talked to the rep from Nature's Pharmacy about their paste, and it's only got 53 milligrams of calcium per milliliter.
Oh.
And compared to, like, Calcium, which I think is, like, 200-some.
Yeah.
But you have to use a ton of it.
That's a lot of it. Yeah. Yeah. 4 milliliters just to get 200 in, and you've got to do 15 or 2,000. Well, that doesn't sound like it's a solution. Okay. Well, make your slurries. Or if you've got the old stuff, hang on to it and just use it for whelping.
Maybe I'll give feedback to Revival. You know, and just say, hey, what did you do? This sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I've been reading the reviews on their site, and that's basically what they're saying. So
And they don't do anything.
Yeah. They're getting panned on the website, on their product page. So they're certainly getting the feedback, but, you know, I'm sure that
from last year and, you know, so, and my Calzorb Oral Cal Plus, those are all from last year. So hopefully I'm good.
Hang on to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't use them casually.
I'm on the Revival website right now, and this isn't necessarily to do with calcium, But you can buy the syringes with needles. But right now, to buy a syringe without needles, you have to have a prescription. For me, that's new.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
I'm on the website right now.
You can get the syringes with the needles without a script?
Yes, but without the needles, the most that you can get appears to be like 10 of the one mil or the one cc's, and all of the 3 cc ones on the first three pages. Anyhow, I'm on page 4 now of their syringes, and there is a 25 pack of small syringes without needles for 3 cc's. But it's on the fourth page of the syringes when you just search syringes. The first three pages, every syringe, every like 100 count syringes, all of that, you have to have a prescription to purchase them.
Oh, that's crazy. Go to Amazon. You can get hundreds of them in boxes, hundreds.
Right? And you can still get them with needles. It's the ones without needles that are prescriptions. Yes.
It's coming. So get ready and be prepared and have your syringes and your needles. Just saying. Okay. So enough with supplies.
Actually, can I just say one thing?
Because
we're already experiencing it. So yeah, that the needles, the syringes are going to be a huge, huge deal really, really soon. So honestly, you have to find them now and get them or you probably won't. Same with gloves. Mm-hmm. Gloves are going to come and go. Already some of our hospitals have run out of certain sizes, like the size I use, smalls. And that's going to continue to be an issue. So if there's anything medical related, you're going to have a hard time finding things. So you're going to want to stock up now if you can find stuff, because that's what I've been doing. It's hard to find.
I think Tracy's, obviously I said it before, it's going to be serious for a couple of years. So get your stuff. And frankly, I would buy vaccines now too. Even if you don't normally give your vaccines, get them from Revival, because the vials and the stoppers are going to become a problem. Those stoppers are only made in a couple of places in the world. They come from very specific plants and species. I don't know. I was going through the charts the other day, and they just can't produce many more of them. And so get it now. And when things really get crazy, and I don't mean crazy in a bad way, because we're going to get a vaccine and that's all going to be really positive, but it isn't going to be good if our puppies can't get vaccinated. So get your distemper parvo vaccines. Vets will still be able to get rabies vaccines. I don't think that will be an issue, but I think distemper and parvo are going to be an issue.
How long did you say that those are good for?
Most vaccines are 3 years. So they have a shelf life. Yep.
And
yep.
Then 3 years.
So if you get them from Revival, you can call them and they'll tell you what the date is on them.
You can also usually download their, they have a PDF of the expiration dates of all their products. You just have to kind of go through the list to find the product you're looking at.
Yeah. And, you know, now's the time to go to Valley Vet, to go to Revival, to go to Allivet, go to the various pharmacies to get what you're going to need. I mean, frankly, if you can do it for the next 2 years, it's going to be probably pretty smart to make that investment now. And I hadn't thought about gloves, but absolutely gloves are going to be an issue. I personally don't think we're going to get quite into the disinfectant issue that we had at the very beginning, but I wouldn't get low on your stock of disinfectant either.
Good luck trying to buy it. You still can't buy the wipes.
The wipes come and go.
You come into Sam's Club at 10:30 in the morning and they're all gone.
Yeah.
What they had.
My sister-in-law is a great shopper, and she'll walk in and she just starts texting everybody. You know, they've got disinfecting wipes right now. She made a haul of the Clorox hydrogen peroxide wipes. And I think she bought them for the entire family because she just happened to be there when they were on the store shelves. So, yep. Now's the time. It's not going to get unweird for a little while. And obviously we want to protect our puppies. Okay. So Deb, I see your post. I don't know if I'm skipping anybody. Oh, wait, Teresa has a question about OFA and hip elbows. Sorry to skip you, Deb. Let me go up to Teresa. Bitch just finished her heat. When can you do the x-ray? Teresa, are you, can you unmute? Are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good.
So she just finished her heat, and we were talking about this on the Facebook group just this week.
Yes.
So that you can do her now. Okay. It's just that if she doesn't do well, you're probably going to end up redoing them because you don't know that it's not her heat. But in general, pregnancy affects ligaments and looseness of joints far more than heat cycles. And there is some research showing that despite both PenHip and OFA saying not to x-ray bitches in estrus, it does not seem to have any impact on them.
Okay.
So you, if you want to wait until she's in anestrus and all of her hormones will be calm then and they're not going to have any impact, do it in 3 months.
Okay.
If you're willing to take the risk, you can do it now and it will probably be fine.
Yeah, it's costly because you got to do sedation and stuff. So it's not cheap up here in Canada.
It's not cheap down here, but yeah. No.
And then is there advantage or doing PenHip versus the x-rays?
The OFA x-rays?
Yeah.
Yeah, so PenHip has a lot more supporting research to actually benefiting a breeding program and benefiting it in a pretty short period of time. So I can try, I think I put it up in the files in the Facebook page. There was a working dog organization that produced police dogs, and they had been using OFA for 20 years. And they'd made very minor improvement in hips. And their dogs generally had good hips, but they were obviously trying to get better. And then they started using PenHip, and in 5 years, they significantly improved their hip scores. So PenHip has, I probably told the story enough that many of you have heard it, but the seeing eye had been trying to improve hips in their Labradors, their Goldens, and their German Shepherds. And they were probably losing 20%, 15 to 20% of their dogs to hip dysplasia or to bad hips. And so they weren't, you know, that's a significant impact on a guide dog organization. So they went to PenHips, and now they are at 0% hip dysplasia in their Labradors, 0% in their German Shepherds, which is a phenomenal accomplishment, and 5% in their Golden Retrievers using PenHip. So, you know, the challenge with PenHip is it's hard to find the vets. It's hard to find stud dogs who have been PenHipped. All of the details of using a less popular method, but it is a significantly better method. And if you use both PenHip and OFA, and during the PenHip process, they shoot an OFA x-ray. And so all you have to do is have them duplicate it and send it into OFA. And in one x-ray procedure, you can get both PenHip and OFA. If you do both of them and you breed, you know, say you have a, so I had an OFA excellent bitch that had 50th percentile PenHips. And she had beautiful hip structure. They were just looser, you know, they were very average. And so instead of breeding her like an excellent and going into perhaps a risky pedigree, I bred her as if she was a good. And she produced phenomenally well and moved our hips dramatically better. I had an OFA fair bitch that had better pen hip scores than that OFA excellent bitch. And so I bred her as a good and she produced really well as well. So the combination is ideal. It's just more complicated to use.
Yeah. And then she's, what is she? She's 2 years and 6 months or 8 months. Is there a reason not to do PenHip at that age?
No, okay. No, not at all. Nope.
Okay.
You can do them a little earlier. You can do them as early as 10 months, but you can do them as late. The really interesting thing on PenHips is they get tighter as the dogs age, like age into 5, 6, 7 years of age.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, their hips tighten up. Well, I think that's interesting because, you know, if you think about OFA, we think of 2 as being the perfect time to x-ray. But at least according to PenHip, the hips get tighter with time. So.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Good luck. Let us know how she goes. Des? Deb, so you've got idiopathic thrombocytopenia.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I don't either, Tracy.
We got, that's the first one. And then on the actual report, it said there was no evidence of septicemia or sepsis.
Septicemia, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they paid the most for the insurance. And,
oh, interesting.
They did pay for mastitis. So I don't know. I still don't know what she died of. It's kind of bizarre. But
yeah, so for those of you who don't know the story, Bailey was the dam of Deb's litter that just went home, and she crashed over about a 2.5 day period, Deb. I mean, it felt like it was so fast.
It was. So Tuesday we went to the vet because her temperature was a little elevated, and they said, well, it's probably the stitch that's left in at the top of the suture, because she had a C-section, and they took that off. There was a little hard ball there, and you know, I've had scar tissue like that before. So she was running around the vet clinic and having a good time. The next morning she couldn't walk. She got an IV with antibiotics, and by 3 o'clock the next morning she was put down.
It was
the morning we went in and checked her for the stitch, we did a complete exam on her. I mean, we didn't do blood work. Why would we do blood work? The next morning we did blood work and everything had crashed. She had almost no white blood cells. Platelets were down. Red blood cells were down a little. And that night, they weren't any better. Her temperature was 104. So it's pretty bad. Again, if she had this thing that cows get, it's like, how did she get it? How did she get that mastitis? I mean, how would she get the poop mastitis?
The E. coli. That's a really actually common form of mastitis, and dogs have E. coli in their bodies. It comes from feces, and so if you know a puppy was near her tail and moved over towards her mammary glands, that's not uncommon. Tracy, do you have?
She wasn't a poop eater or anything.
No, it's
that's. No, it's a common, and actually our girl Splash, who had the 2 mastitis, it was E. coli with some other funky rods in there. But the thrombocytopenia is basically when, you know, you just can't clot when your counts are low enough. It's like our certain cancer patients with leukemia, where you can't touch them because they'll bleed and you can't get it to stop. There's really nothing that you can do other than hoping time will get you through where they can actually clot. So there's just nothing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then it takes over body.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seemed to be what was happening, was it was just hitting all of her organs.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen to anyone else, because I would, like I said, Gail, I would have needed a crystal ball to be able to do anything. I honestly. I thought it was on top of her.
Well, I mean, obviously all of us were online with you and feeling like you were on it. And then when you took her in at what, 11 that night or something? I mean, it was late that evening and boy, it did not sound good at that point.
No. There isn't anything you could have done or could have seen. I mean, so unfortunately, especially with our dogs who can't talk to us, I mean, at least I can get some ideas from people to have a hint of my spidey senses going off. There just unfortunately times, and our dogs will hide stuff and they crash so fast. And even with people medicine applying to our veterinary stuff, that's a hit and miss and often just not doable. And honestly would put you into bankruptcy and probably wouldn't have a good outcome anyway.
Yeah. She mentioned that probably could try to do surgery, which she wouldn't have survived for another $7,000. And it's like, well, that wasn't happening. No, I loved her, but I didn't have $7,000.
Well, and if she's going to die anyway, you know, to put a dog through a major surgery and try and get him out of recovery. I mean, I kind of knew when you took her in at 11 that I'm like, you said something and I'm like, oh, this sounds so much like she's crashing. And her temp was a huge.
Well, she couldn't walk. I had a hard
that time. Might have been it. Like, she can't walk. This is a problem. Well, I'm really glad that you did the necropsy, Deb, just to get some answers and to know that you didn't really miss anything. You know, like there wasn't something really obvious there that everybody missed. It was.
And that I didn't do something like play ball with her or do something that caused a tear.
No, and the E. coli, don't even think about that because it's everywhere. It really is. It's not the E. coli H57 that, you know, comes in meat and kills people. It's the normal everyday E. coli that's present in all of us, but it causes pyo. It's one of the dominant causes of pyo. You know, so it ends up in the uterus. That's just, you know, those bacteria are everywhere and usually they're under control and they're fine. But in this case, it just got in there and it wasn't fine. Okay, I do have to move on. Gauge in syringes. So I usually have 22s, 20s, and 25s on hand. I don't know what everybody else uses, but I have that combination. Tracy's saying 22 or 23. Yep. So any of those will work, especially on a Rhodesian Sarah. If you've got a tiny little dog, you might want to go for the higher gauge, smaller syringes, but for, you know, a relatively large dog, those should be fine. Molly, do you want to unmute? I see you here. I think I see you.
Yes.
How are you? Yeah.
You know, I'm okay. I actually just got out of the hospital, so I'm glad to be home.
Oh my gosh, are you all right?
I am all right, but it was a very strange experience. Just such a strange thing that happened to me where I ended up having amnesia. And
oh my gosh.
Have you ever known anyone?
I actually knew one guy in the Army who had amnesia.
It was something called, and I'm in that awful, I'm going to blank on it now. that's beside the point. I'm playing catch up here with just trying to be clear about what I need to do. I have a female that is, she turned 2 in June, and so this will be her first breeding.
Yep.
She came in heat on October 6th, and I've got her scheduled tomorrow to have her first progesterone pool. And I just learned from my daughter, who is the one who keeps her, that she got the results of the titer that had been done at a recent vet visit. And she's her par. They want to give her a parvo booster.
Don't.
Right. That's.
Don't.
Again, that's what my memory is telling me, but I just thought I better take advantage of this phone call, and knowing that what has just happened to me recently, I just need.
good. Always good to check.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So if you boost her now, those puppies probably will not be able to respond to a vaccine until they're 14 to 16 to 18 weeks old.
Yeah.
If you don't boost her and she's low, they will probably be able to respond to a vaccine between 7, 8, 9 weeks, and you can vaccinate her then. And so you're just going to vaccinate her with the puppies. If she has ever had a titer, she'll be protected. She'll be fine. If she hasn't had a titer, you're going to breed her, and the chance that she's going to get parvo or come in contact with parvo is very slim right now. I'm assuming you're not going off to dog shows and things like that.
We are not.
Yeah, parvo's pretty quiet right now because we're not out and about.
Right.
You know, we're not spreading it. So I think that you'll be very safe skipping that vaccination for her. You'll benefit the puppies, and then you're going to vaccinate her when you vaccinate the puppies.
Right.
And she'll be good.
Okay. Thank you for that confirmation. I really appreciate it.
Good. Feel better.
Yeah, I do.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's 2020, you know, there's just no accounting for it. Jerry says, you want to get on, Jerry? Questions about the widely varying sizes and growth rates of her babies. So Jerry, tell us more.
Yeah, so my puppies were 98 grams, 172, and 104 grams when they were born. The two that were right at 100 are actually, of all the breeders I've talked to, I've only identified 4 puppies that have been smaller. So they are very small for the breed. And mine is not a small dog. She's 11 pounds, and a small Manchester would be 8. I did breed her to a smaller stud because I am trying to stay within the standard. All the puppies met the doubling by 10 days, but great. Two of my puppies are tripled at 12 days, and the other one is not. I mean, it's all boys. So he's at, I think, 235 today.
Was he the 98?
Yeah, he was the 98. But, and so he's
close.
Gain as much overnight because I think the bigger ones knock him off. But I mean, he's gaining, it's all fine, but like one of the puppies, is double his size.
Oh yeah.
And gaining at a higher percentage and continuing to get bigger. So it just seems very strange to me.
Yeah. So from what we can tell, that the majority of the difference of weight, birth weight, is where they implanted in the uterus. And there are, you know, it's location, location, location. There are better spots and there are poorer spots. And the poor spots typically are at the ends of the horns. You know, the uterus is a Y. This is the uterine body. Anywhere right around here is bad. Anywhere up here is bad.
That's where he was.
He was up there.
He was at the up there, and on the Doppler, he always had the least amount of heart rate of the others.
Yep.
So there was two on one side and one on the other, and I could feel the big puppy. I mean, he moved around and made lots of noise and irritated us all. But he was the one at the end.
And so that makes sense because that is not an optimal place. The blood flow at that point, the endometria, we don't know exactly what causes it, but they're poor locations. And if you've bred an older bitch, they can have spots elsewhere in the uterus where they're getting CEH, hyperplasia of the lining of the uterus. And those puppies will be small as well. But in young bitches, or, you know, bitches up to say 5 or 6, usually it's going to be the ones here and the ones here that are poor. And the ones that are here are usually the biggest. So if they're close to the uterine body but not at it, that's usually the optimal place. Then it sort of distributes from there. And the problem with puppies and birth weight is that the big get bigger and the small try and catch up. And they stay that way. It is, I know a couple little litters where the smallest puppies have surpassed the larger. They're incredibly rare. Because the stronger puppies knock them off, get the better tits, are able to nurse more strongly, are able to get more milk out. And the younger ones get tired, the smaller ones get tired faster, they get pushed off. They end up putting so many more calories into simply maintaining. And, you know, in the end, they can all end up to be perfectly standard size. It's kind of stunning. I mean, my smallest puppy ended up to be dead center in the standard. And I never dreamed she would do that. And so it isn't necessarily indicative of adult size, as long as they're healthy, that they do continue to thrive, you know, maybe not quite as much as the big ones. The ones, you know, people always talk about runts, and the vast majority of litters don't have runts. Runts are, you know, they're particularly weak puppies that take a huge amount of work. Sometimes those puppies never catch up and they'll be small as adults. But I have found that birth weight doesn't necessarily predict adult size. It may in some lines and some breeds, but they can end up catching up, and they particularly catch up once they start eating solid food. How old? Oh, they're 12 days. So they still have a ways to go.
Yeah. And I've been, during the day, I go in and make sure he gets some private nursing. And he's always been vigorous in nursing. Like, he came out and he was on in nursing within a minute.
Great. Right?
So, and I did supplement them one day because he was just not gaining. And then after that, I tried the jump starts. Is that what you call them? Jump starts?
Yeah. A kick starts.
Kickstart. So I did that, and that helped a little bit, but he just, and then my ReproVet, she was like, you need to supplement him. So I supplemented him for one day, and that's all I've needed to do. And I did one additional kickstart. But he seems to be doing really well, but it's just, there's such a huge size difference between the two of them.
It's always amazing when you take a picture, you know, and you have this guy and you have that guy. And yeah, they're brothers, you know, they're the same litter. Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's doing well, because that's pretty small. At 98 grams
they're small. And when your breeder tells you, oh, I've never had a puppy that small, you're like.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
But he's doing, at 12 days, that's great. That's great.
I think he's, for all the standards I've been given, he's doing great. He's just not doing as well as the others.
Yeah, and that's that constant battle we fight to try and keep the little ones growing as well as they can.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Good luck. Post pictures.
All right.
Lori, I don't know if I see you on, but I don't understand your question. What about breeds that aren't as common as the retrievers and GSDs? Data, in Penn Hip. I don't know if you can unmute, Lori. I don't see you to unmute you. I'm scanning. So Penn Hip's been pretty consistent across breeds. And so the Penn Hip offers us two pieces of information. They offer us a breed, a relative to the breed piece of information. And then they have the relative to all dogs. So we know that dogs that are 0.3 or less have almost no chance of developing hip dysplasia. And I think it's 0.3 to 0.6 have a moderate chance, and 0.6 and over have a really good chance of developing hip dysplasia. Most of my dogs, I've had a couple 0.3s. Most of my dogs are 0.3 to 0.6, and none of them have ever developed hip dysplasia, but the risk is higher in those. And so you want to keep both your breed in mind, but you also can look across. If you have a breed that doesn't have a huge amount of data in the with PenHip, you can look at the dog itself and say, okay, I know I want that number as low as possible. I want the hips to be as equal as possible. And if I can find a boy that's better than, say, my bitch is 0.5 and 0.5, then if I can get a boy that's 0.4, I'm going to be improving hips. I'm going to be moving the puppies in that direction. So that's an easy way to use PenHip if you don't have a lot of data in your breed. Now, if you have a breed with a really high rate of hip dysplasia, so say Clumbers or some of the other breeds that just have massive rates of hip dysplasia, then you're probably in the 0.6, 0.7. And there you're just looking for anybody that moves you towards a 0.5. You know, you're in with PenHip, all you're trying to do is move that number smaller. I think it's usually towards the left on their report. So that's a way to use it regardless of the number of dogs that are in it. Renee had some comments for you, Deb. I'll skip that. Tracy's confirming. Oh, yeah, Tracy did remind us that your girl needs a nomograph. Molly, make sure that you do a nomograph on your bitch 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out from whelping, so that you can pinpoint how low is really low. Because rarely do vets do a cavid titer. They're usually doing a titer through IDEX or something like that. And so it isn't going to give you the number you need to predict when the puppies will need their vaccines. Renee, are you still on? You learned that your cell phone can become a microscope.
Thanks to Susan Patterson.
Okay, I know. I saw your conversation with Susan. So how does that work? Do you just go in and take a picture and...
No, you have to buy a laser pointer and crack out the lens and buy some sticky tack and put it on it and set it on a flashlight with a white piece of paper. It was an adventure. But also I have to report that when you are stranded in a strange city because you decided to drive to the stud dog and do it yourself, and you forget your power cord for your microscope, it kind of ruins your whole day. So sometimes you have to do backwoods stuff, but Facebook Marketplace is your friend. I ended up buying a Facebook Marketplace microscope, and the woman is like standing telling me all about her kids and how they didn't use it. I'm like, you'd want to know what I'm going to use this for. Okay, can I just take it and can I go back to the stud dog? So yeah, it was an interesting experience, but check your supplies before you leave and don't let any of your co-breeders or anything help you pack stuff because they don't pack the power cord. That was great.
That must have been a really terrible feeling when you unpacked.
Yeah, it was. Because this dog is old and hasn't had good semen, and I'm like, we're good, I can do this. I have hours to get to another backup dog that's 2 hours away. Yeah. So you have to make the decision right there standing on the porch. Do I put this cloudy stuff in the bitch and hope it's okay? Or what do I do now? I can't look at it. Oh my God, it was terrifying.
So can you just go back one more second? You used a laser pointer to remove what lens? Off your phone?
No, the laser pointer. You take the lens out of the laser pointer.
Okay. I'm feeling much better then because I'm like, what did you do to your phone?
No, I didn't kill my phone. I tried to use it and I was like, okay, let me see if I can find a... I went and got all the pieces and parts and said, wait, maybe I can just find one on Marketplace. And I stayed at a friend's house 2 hours away. And in between, there was somebody selling it on Saturday morning that would meet me. I'm like, okay, great. I don't want to tell you what I'm using this for.
Yeah, I have to say, so many people buy their kids microscopes, and you know, how long is a kid going to use a microscope? And right. So that's a great place to find them.
And the best part was, is I'm very spoiled and used to using a very expensive, nice microscope. And the stud owner is like, oh, those look good, but I think they're immature. I think those heads are a little small. And I'm like, all I can tell you is that it's moving. At this point, I'm just going to take the slide home. Please stop. And she's trying to be so professional and try to tell me so much. I'm like, you can't see it on a kid's microscope. It's moving. We're good. That's all
there's,
we're happy
there's
for.
Many of them and they're moving.
Exactly. And that's where we were at. So I came home and did a TCI at midnight and stained it, looked under it, and went, oh, these look okay.
Oh, good.
It was an adventure.
Oh my gosh, that is an adventure. Yeah. One of these days we're all writing a book. Great. Well, I'm glad he had good semen and that you resolved it. I saw that post come through. I couldn't help you, but I felt very bad for you.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Maren, question about C-sections on a bitch that already had to have one?
Hi. Yeah.
Hey.
I've talked to you a little bit about her. You know her.
Yeah.
That situation. So knowing her a little bit about her situation, that it was a smaller litter, and then we had all of like the fires and everything leading up to it, and the amount of things that led to, in the end, losing the litter and having the C-section. Is there a chance? Like, should I plan? She was due to come in like 2 weeks ago, and she hasn't yet. So should I plan to have her sectioned again, or is
there no real need to?
Okay.
They can whelp naturally after a C-section. A lot will, you know, be determined by litter size again. Mm-hmm. You know, if she's only got one or two, that may, or three, you know, because those three didn't trigger whelping, you know, because the puppies contribute to it. So you may have to section for that reason, but you don't need to section simply because she had a C-section before. But obviously, have your whelping rules. You know, don't ever let down.
Yeah, that was a hard lesson to learn the first time. And fortunately, the bitch that we bred, my stud dog too, did take. She's due in like about 5 or 6 days. So I'll go forward with using him.
That's terrific. That's great, because his semen didn't look good, correct?
Right. The semen analysis read completely different than the conversation I remember having with the vet. But he said the motility was 75%. I remembered him saying 50%. And then in the semen analysis, he said 500 to 750 million. And he told me 500 to 700 million, which you said was kind of like a broad spectrum.
It's a huge spectrum.
Yeah. So I've talked to a couple other breeders locally, and they've recommended somebody that's a couple hours away that he works with Hutch a lot, and he's not, I guess he's not the nicest person to talk to or deal with, but he's a good vet, and he does a great job, and a lot of people really like using him, and they'll actually store frozen at their facility. So I could That's have great. Him collected in December. There's a group of people that are going to, I guess ICSB is coming down, and a group of people are going to have their dogs collected and frozen and either send it back with the semen bank or send it to Kennel Care in Chandler. So I think I'll try and have them collected. I got that supplement you recommended, and he's been on that for about 6 days, 7 days now.
And you have till December, so that'll give him time to really regenerate.
Hopefully, yeah. And then I didn't get a chance to ask you, what is a rare epithelial in his semen analysis? There was the one of the cells that said there was a rare epithelial cell, and I tried to Google it, and it didn't. It was a lot of science-y information.
Yeah. So when you see rare in those reports, it just means that there's not much of it. Like you just see it occasionally, like scant. It's more like scant. And epithelial is a skin cell of some sort. So basically they're just saying, you know, we saw this unusual cell in there, but it was uncommon. There wasn't a lot of it. So okay. That wouldn't really concern me at all if they, you know, if there's just a few in there.
Okay.
I can't explain why it happened.
It's just a random finding.
It's a random. Oh, is that what Tracy, is that you? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes, because I tried to Google it and it was, I could not understand any of the journals that I was reading, and it was mostly related to humans. And so I just, that makes a lot more, that, okay. That makes me feel a little bit better too.
Yeah. Not, that's not a crisis okay. at all. The 50% motility was a bigger concern, but if it's really 70%, still not great, but it's not, you know, it's more than enough to get a bitch pregnant, clearly.
Right. Yeah. And we'll find out. She's trying to get her bitch in for an x-ray. But she said the vet that she usually uses is booked up and they'll try and squeeze her in if they can. But she's whelped this bitch without x-rays before, so she's not concerned. This is her third litter. So, she's not concerned, but she would guess between like 3 and 6, based Great. Off her size and what she's had before. So yeah. And for flying out here, it was, his first breeding. The collection we tried to get a couple weeks prior to breeding wasn't very good. We didn't have a teaser.
Yeah, he's so, young too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So based off of all of the factors with her flying, and the timing was towards the end of her ovulation, I think it was a little bit later. We could have bred her a day or so prior and she probably would have been a little bit better. So I feel more confident going forward using him on my bitch.
Great. Good. That's terrific news.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I actually I wanted to ask my questions, but I have to go. I have a board meeting. So
no worries.
I have to jump on that one now. I'm late for that. So no thank worries. You so much.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
I'm going to jump over to Aaron if you want to unmute Aaron about your bitch who has hydrocele pinks, which I haven't experienced. I've heard of it. Aaron, are you? I see you.
Hi, Gail. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Hey there. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll put it out to everybody. I'm going to type it in. Let me just put it in the chat. So the problem is called hydrocele pinks, and it's fluid blocking the oviduct. So the oviduct has usually a part of it that has fluid in it that will keep the sperm from getting to the eggs. So tell me more what the vet has said, Aaron.
So just to recap everybody in a short summary, my female, Sansa, was bred to our proven stud, Roosevelt. The first time it didn't take, and I just, you know, I thought it was a fluke, you know, it just wasn't time yet. And even though I did progesterone testing and he had sired a litter, the first pregnancy didn't take. Second pregnancy, they were bred, three successful ties. On day 30, I went to ultrasound, no puppies. I knew then with take two that there must be an underlying issue. My stud had sired a litter previously, a couple of months prior, and it was successful. I took her to the University of Florida to see their top-notch reproductive specialist there. They did a full workup. When they ran the progesterone at day 40, it was at a 2. So they wanted her to come back when she was in full anestrus to do another workup again to look at her reproductive system. So when I took her on the 6th of this month, when she was in anestrus, they did a full ultrasound. They spent about an hour and a half there, ultrasonographer, and found the blocked oviducts.
Both of them? One of them?
Both.
Both.
Both. So it's not something that I'm familiar with, you know, breeding only for, you know, a couple of years. I've never experienced it. No one that I've worked with or know has experienced it. When I spoke with the reproductive vet, she said, Erin, you know, I'm sure it's a lot more common than what we hear of, but most breeders, when their female doesn't get pregnant after the first, you know, the few couple times, the second or third time, they spay, they move on. They don't investigate it. They're not bringing their female back to spend the money, to put the time in, to get a diagnosis. But, you know, at least you've done that and you know the cause and you can move forward. So on our last...
Yeah, now, yeah. But moving forward, there's no solution for her, is there?
Correct. Yeah, correct. I can move forward.
Right.
With the information that I have, unfortunately, she's scheduled to be spayed on Thursday.
I think that's smart.
While on our last call, you know, we were hoping that the next time I would be telling everybody that, you know, Sansa's pregnant, you know, that's not going to be the case. But, you know, I've learned a lot, and this is a great platform. While I don't want anyone else on this call or any good reputable breeder to have to go through this, it is a learning experience for when you don't know what the cause is, you know.
Well, yeah, and to get those infertility workups I think they're really important. Now, you can just spay and move on. But to try to understand what's causing it, what's the issue? Is it him, her, both of them? And then try to understand sort of the underlying cause. Did the vet, so from my past reading, typically it is caused by either endometriosis or some sort of STD, which I'm assuming you don't have since your boy is fertile. And, correct. But did the vet give you any indications?
From what she said, you know, it can be run in the line. So she asked about the mother and the grandparents. And to my knowledge, from working, you know, working with the breeder that I acquired her from, to her knowledge, there is no instances of infertility on either side. It can be genetic. It can be caused, like you said, through STDs, through inflammation, infection, which, you know, through the workup, she did not have. So it's really an anomaly. While I got an answer, I did not get a call, you know, what caused it. So.
Right. You know, I thought it was interesting when you sent that in, because I think endometriosis is much more common in our bitches than we realize. It's certainly something Emmanuel Fontaine, who is the repro vet that works with Royal Canin, he did some research in France before he came over to Canada, and he has said that they found it at a much higher rate than people realized. And I've wondered whether sort of that infertility that isn't very explicable, it's a young bitch, timing was good, male was fertile, and yet we can't get her pregnant, hormones are pretty normal, whether it's just these changes that are not CEH, you know, they're not the aging challenges that uteruses have, but that it's endometriosis. And I wonder if that had an effect on her. It's certainly not worth pursuing, but it's a good question. So you don't have any of her daughters. Do you have a bitch that's related, or are you moving to a different line?
I have her half-sister. I have Sansa's half-sister. So they have the same fathers, different mothers.
Yeah. Well, it'll be, and she's gotten pregnant, if I recall, am I right?
Yes, she did. She had a litter of 8, yes.
Yeah, okay. So it sounds like, you know, sometimes it just happens. So. Well, thank you for cycling back and letting us know. I'm sorry it wasn't better news, but I'm glad it wasn't your boy's fault either.
Yeah, I went ahead, as I mentioned before, you know, we had a complete semen analysis because I wanted to cover my bases before I move forward with, you know, her full exam and then trying to work out, you know, with the breeder that I acquired Sansa from, because I purchased a breeding female I do not have a breeding female. You know, trying to work out all of those details. It is unfortunate, but I've learned a lot in the past, you know, past year. And what's knowledge if it's not shared? So this is a great platform to do that.
I really, really appreciate it. And obviously it'll be on the video so that people can investigate it and at least have it in the back of their minds. It is pretty uncommon, at least in the research. So I was reading a 1986 paper on it where they found some cases. They just found some street dogs, and while they were spaying them, they went in and took a look at the issues, and it was present there. So it's certainly there. It's just not a particularly common problem.
Would the spaying reveal any more information?
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly go further and do pathology when you spay. I don't know if you're interested in Aaron in going any further, but it would be possible to send the ovaries, oviduct, and uterus in for a physical exam, because they were doing it through ultrasound.
Right.
So that's certainly possible. You've probably, I don't know if you want to put any more money into it at this point. That ongoing payment challenge. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing that, Erin.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Kathleen? Kathleen, you've mailed a question in too. Yeah. Okay.
The same question.
Oh, it's the same question. So I found, do you want to do a quick summary, Kathleen, or you want me to?
I had read my bitch, and we we ultrasounded 30 days, didn't see any puppies. And then 60 days, she started producing milk and doing some little behavioral things. And since she's a Boston Terrier, she would need a C-section. I got really concerned, like, oh my goodness, what if there's a puppy there? So we went and did an x-ray, and there's nothing there. So she clearly is, you know, having a false pregnancy. And my, you know, my vet said, well, you know, false pregnancies actually last 100 days.
I don't understand that.
Understand it either.
That's actually not true.
Oh, really? Because
it's not true. No, I don't, you know, you mailed that in and I'm like, that's really not.
I don't know.
My understanding, so I went and did some research this afternoon. So false pregnancies are really common. They are perfectly normal. Every bitch goes through one, just some have more symptoms than others. It is perfectly normal for them to get milk. It's perfectly normal for them to mother their toys. It's perfectly normal. They can be a little snipey with other dogs because they've got puppies, you know, in their minds and bodies, they have puppies. So just go along with all of that. Really, you know, support her through this, because if dogs don't teach us the power of hormones, nothing will. Because, you know, in human society, we sort of poo-poo hormones. But, you know, these perfectly rational animals are completely irrational. And they're not irrational just because they're dogs. They're irrational because the chemicals in their body are telling them these things. Mm-hmm. So this should end in no more than 14 days. And if you don't do anything to her mammary glands, the milk will dry up. Keep an eye on them, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mastitis is incredibly rare with false pregnancies, but always worth watching and just making sure. There's, aside from going along with her, which I do think is really important, because the more we fight those hormones, the more anxious the bitch gets and the more bizarre behaviors we get. And so, you know, give her a place to have her puppies. If she has a special toy that is her baby, you know, don't throw it. We have to remember that in Goldens. Like, when they bring it to you, they don't want you to throw it. You know, don't increase her food, you know, don't go along with it in that realm, but mm-hmm. just support her, keep the other dogs away if you have other dogs. Mm-hmm. The only supplement I have ever heard of to give, and I can't promise you it helps, is just a B complex.
Okay.
So there, you know, B12 supposedly assists in shortening it, but the problem with false pregnancies is they don't last very long anyway. So did it really help or did it not? And
right.
nobody knows. If okay. her false pregnancy is really bad, she's dripping milk, she's losing her mind, you can give her cabergoline. So cabergoline is a drug that we usually use to bring bitches into season, interestingly enough. But we can use cabergolines to end really extensive and difficult false pregnancies. And so you would have to get that from your vet. Usually for Boston, it would have to be compounded because the larger dogs can use the human dose split. I'll write in. Are you familiar with cabergoline?
Am I? No.
Okay, so I just put it in the chat if you want to talk to your vet about it. But typically it will pass. Now you said that you thought that, so what happens is she is just ending diastrous. So she was in proestrus, right. and then she was in estrus. Now she's in ending diastrous. So diastrous ends the week they whelp.
Okay.
So during that period, diastrous ends, and now they go into anastrous. And in anastrous, the hormones all calm down, the uterus gets smaller, the ovaries stop producing a lot of hormones. And so it's really rare for a false pregnancy to continue into anastrous because the hormones okay. are going away.
Okay.
You thought that she did take 100 days last time. So that's
maybe that was my mindset. I don't know, but yeah. her she had such marked behavioral changes that actually lasted a really long time. So
I was going to say two things. So it's either the seed got planted by your vet.
Yeah, that could be.
Right? Which happens, you know, mm-hmm. when we all, that happens to all of us. Or she is really unusual in this. and the only reason that I say you should pay attention to that and really try and discriminate is that you may want to run a progesterone test on her.
Okay.
Because okay. right now her progesterone should be 2 or lower. It
okay.
should be very, very low. And if it's not, then something else may be going on.
Okay.
Because she didn't get pregnant. And right. if she does have this strange hormonal action when there shouldn't be any hormones happening, you know, my concern would be ovarian cysts. And
oh,
so,
okay.
yeah, you could, the easiest thing to do is just run a progesterone.
Okay.
And then if it's above 2, then you might want to pursue an ovarian ultrasound and have okay. somebody sort of what we were just talking about, going in, what Aaron was talking about, going and getting a workup
okay.
and getting an ultrasound. You know, it's not a huge workup, but you want to get an ultrasound
sure.
of the reproductive tract and just make sure. It isn't the easiest thing to do when they're not in season, but that would be a start. And then
okay.
if they see anything odd, then you can wait and do it the next time she comes in season.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great advice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Good yeah. luck. I hope she bounces back quickly.
I do too.
It is a little weird. I know.
They're really but weird. No, it's real, you know, it's very, very helpful. And so, yeah, I'll definitely pursue that.
Cool. Well, hopefully, you know, you give her a B complex and she's fine. And,
yeah.
you know, her toys stop being babies. It always is so weird to me when, you know, they love this thing for like 5 days and then they're like, you know, I don't want to see it again until next year. And they have no interest in it. My brother's dog, Kolsch, has this bizarre, disgusting, green, squeaky monkey thing. It only comes out when she's having a false pregnancy. Only. Oh, right. You can't even find it the rest of the time. And then where she comes up with it, none of us know. It's a horrible little thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither here nor there. Good luck with her.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Did I get all the questions? Have I missed anything? Is there more we need to talk about?
I just had the question about violence. I mean, growly puppy again. This is a different growly puppy.
Growly puppy. So you've sent them home. They're what, 10 weeks?
Right.
10 weeks.
Yeah. And so
picking up growly?
The one I kept was the one when I'd pick up, she'd growl at me. And that's the one I kept because I couldn't let a growly puppy go someplace, and she had the best structure. So
I was going to say, she looks pretty nice, Deb. Just yeah, saying.
Yeah. And she has not growled since. Right. So I got a report from an owner that this weekend, starting Saturday, the puppy they got has been growling.
Usually, it's not the one with the four kids, is it? It's not the birthday present.
No. It's not that one.
Oh my gosh. I was like about to pass out watching that video. I really was. It's like, oh my God. Okay. So when is this puppy growling? How is it?
When the three times she growled was, she was actually like in like under a table or whatever, and someone's gone in and grabbed her or tried to pet her. And she's growled at them. And this woman's done a lot of rescue and so has been around a lot of good and bad temperament dogs. So she knows the growl when she hears one. And this was not a play growl. And so she's a little concerned. I'm a little concerned, especially with her sister doing that. But her sister doesn't do it now.
That was a passing thing with that puppy. So I think we have to always take a step back. You know, we expect golden retrievers to be like non-dogs, basically. We expect Labradors and Goldens to not be dogs and to never express a negative opinion at all. You know, because how does a puppy say, I'm tired and I'm under the table and I'd like to be under the table and I really don't want anybody grabbing me or something like that? They don't have a way to do that, right? The yeah. only way a dog has to do that is to growl. So on the one thing we need to remember, that it is a normal dog thing, a normal dog communication to say, I'm not feeling comfortable right now. I'm just not feeling comfortable. So that's number one. Number two, we have to be incredibly grateful that dogs growl, because it is really one of the few ways that we know they're uncomfortable before they bite. And if we stop them from growling, if we correct them from growling, they aren't going to get more comfortable. They're just going to stop growling and bite. So I think we need to say, hey, that puppy's telling us that it's really uncomfortable with us, what we are doing right now. Doesn't mean they have a bad temperament. They're just saying, you're making me uncomfortable. And so then we have to say, why are we making the dog uncomfortable? So your first comment was, when somebody went under and grabbed her. Well, you know, you have a new puppy that you haven't had very long and you're reaching into an enclosed space to grab it. Not a very comfortable thing for puppies. Much
right, and that's what I said, that it might have just been, she doesn't really know you, and she's in her cave, what she thought was her cave, and suddenly there's a hand going in after her.
Exactly. So I think we have to do a couple things. One, we have to say, what's making this puppy uncomfortable, and how do I change two things? How do I change her emotional state when that's happening and what I'm doing, so I'm not triggering it? And I don't think reaching into spaces, grabbing puppies, is a particularly smart thing to do, regardless of the breed. But I think the other thing we can do is to not, I think we tend to panic when we hear that, as opposed to going, oh, you silly, what are you doing? And you flop down on the ground, or, you know, you lie down and you're like, you are being such a goober. What the heck? And let's go play. And if we lighten up, usually the puppy will go, oh, okay. And we completely change the puppy's emotional state because we changed. You know, they mirror us a lot. And we're lightening up, and so they lighten up. So I don't think at this point, at 10 weeks of age, and she's been there if a week, I mean, yeah, someone just went home. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't know him, and clearly she's not feeling comfortable with what they're doing. So ask them to change their behavior and then try and shape. So if she goes into that hole, whatever that space is, and you want her out, you know, half the time, let her stay in there. And then if you want her out for some reason, call her out, encourage her out, like change that so you can shape her. So the coming out, the me coming to you and the coming out is positive, not negative. You know, right. You get treats, we play a game, I lie down on the ground and read to you, you know, whatever it is to lighten the situation. So for whatever reason the puppy is feeling threatened, we break off that threat. You know, when I first got into dogs, our reaction would be, I'll show you, you know, that's my space. You don't own that space. And then we kept making dogs so much more aggressive because the puppy's simply saying, I'm uncomfortable, and we make it into this traumatic thing, like, don't you threaten me, when in reality, the puppy's not threatening you. So that would be my thought. And I mean, I think many of us have done rescue, and so we have a lot of respect for it. But I find people that do a lot of rescue tend to be more sensitive to puppies that do that.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so worried about temperaments, as opposed to saying, you goober, what are you doing? Stop. You know, let's go for a walk. Let's go play ball. Let's go. Or say a puppy's really tired and needs to go in her crate and get a break. Do they have kids?
Yeah, two kids, 9, 14. Of course, they're all in love with them now, love with her now. And so there is some of the, I'm in a hurry, you're not coming out when I'm trying to lure you with food, so I'm going to go get you. One was just reaching under a table to pat, and the dog growled, the puppy growled. And another one was, another I'm in a hurry. You're not coming when I'm calling. And so I'm going to go get you. And then the puppy growled. So
a tagline would be a really good idea.
Yeah. I mean, all of these people are in puppy college, so they should all have that. And I asked her, did you sign up? No, I haven't signed up yet. And it's like, okay.
And I know it's a really good place to ask these questions. But the benefit of the tagline is, you know, you've got a handle that doesn't require you to grab a puppy.
I forgot about that. And so I will, I'll send her a message tonight, say, hey, take a look at that tagline thing. That may solve the problem right there.
Yeah, just leave the leash on her for the time being. So you have a handle so you can begin to pull, you know, don't jerk her out. But if you're in a rush, begin to pull, encourage her, all of those things. I would say, like, a dog that's in a hidey hole, you know, a crate or something, doesn't need to be petted. You know, it's just not a good space to pet a dog, to reach in. I was just working in the crate training class, and like, don't let people put their face in the crate of a dog. You know, people go right up and they peer in, and the dog's like, you're freaking me out, back off. And so I think building a little bit more of a relationship and encouraging them that when she's in that space, she's feeling tired and in her own space and doesn't really want a hand grab or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I'd be stunned.
Thanks.
You know, I've seen the pedigree. It could happen, but I'd be surprised. I think it's just, you know, baby puppy.
It's
transitioning.
99% of the time, they're really happy with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that one.
Tell them to get on to the, they had a puppy college call tonight. They could have been on talking to Sarah.
I know. I said that. Yeah.
Keep encouraging.
I even signed them up 3 weeks early.
I know you did. I know. You know, we can lead horses to water, but keep working. You
can't make them think, right?
I didn't say that.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Oh, I have one quick thing.
Go ahead, Trish. Sarah says next puppy college call is Thursday. There you go. Go, Trish.
Okay, so Indy got to finally do his first legitimate breeding.
Hey! As opposed to the voluntary one when he was a teenager?
And when he was less than a teenager when he got posed. This time he got to have Posey for real. Then, whoops, did not take. But this one definitely took. So we were going to do it in the spring. And then, of course, COVID hit and, you know, and Dr. Cindy had checked his semen and all that. And it was like, well, okay, but, you know, you need to be cleaning him out. And then he was kind of like, what are you doing?
They're always so funny, like, yeah. Mom, what is the matter with you?
And so I was kind of like, okay, not real successful at this. So when we went down, when Posey came in season this time, I said, well, you know, we have to do it because I don't want to wait and have her be over 7 and do it. You know, I mean, she's in great shape, but
yeah.
Go ahead. So we went, I think it would have been like August 31st. So I told her I wasn't very successful on a clean out. So of course, then we checked his semen. I did full blood work on both of them, or, you know, I mean, not extensive blood work, because that's what I do anymore, and brucellosis and that kind of thing. And so he'd been on Glycoflex ever since the spring, you know, the 2 Glycoflex twice a day. And so anyway, I can't remember what his count was in the spring, but it wasn't anything particularly impressive. So on the 31st, it was 1.6 billion and had some red ones in there reflective of not having been cleaned out. So then Posey actually went up fairly fast, and she was on the 5th is when she'd ovulated. We'd gone down there and, you know, and done it. So we came back and we weren't sure that Posey would let him breeder. So Dr. Cindy did a side-by-side AI. Well, his sperm count went up from that Monday. It was
from 1.6 billion?
Yeah, to 2 billion.
how pregnant is she?
Well, she's not really good at counting on the ultrasound. So we got 7 to 8, and I'm hoping she won't be like her daughter and have 12.
Yeah, no. 8 would be nice. 8's always nice.
So anyway, it was like 80%, I think she said, on the motel.
Great, good.
Yep. You know, good ones and stuff. She said they all look great. So we didn't, because we were doing it side by side, I didn't have her do a full semen analysis, but we decided that I need to start collecting him.
Collecting him.
No, but she said, not Glycoflex, it doesn't.
It's good stuff. We don't know why, but it really does work. That's fabulous. Gosh, get him in for some collections, because with 2 billion, you're going to get, like, that's 10 breedings. If you've got 80%, you know, it'll be
right.
8 breedings. But.
And, then I did just, because I have semen stored at Zoetis, and so, you know, when I had it shipped out for Tessa some years ago, it's because Dr. Cindy's not a freeze center, it's like 500 or something for the round trip. But I just found out from them, because Dr. Cindy doesn't, you know, freeze and store, because she wants to be neutral like Switzerland, because ICSB is, it's
right, right. Yeah, you're close.
They all and there's a couple other local ones here, and they all fight, apparently. So anyway, so she uses the mini tubes or something and sends mm-hmm. it. But Zoetis told me that, you know, you have semen stored there with them. They will send the tank out for what you've collected for no charge. So it can...
To ship it to them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, wow, how cool is that? But it has to be properly cooled down, which I would assume at this point in life she's quite able to do. I haven't talked to her about that, but I go in Monday for Posey's second ultrasound and there was no sign of fluid on the first one, by the way, which
great.
I'm hoping, great. You know, since Jackson, his sire didn't cause it with Raspberry or Posey, you know, the combination didn't work that way. I'm hoping that it'll work that way with him and Posey, you know, no guarantee, but.
Trish has dealt with an issue called maternal hydrops. I think there's a new name for it now, but it's just fetal membrane fluid or something.
But, yeah. So
that's great. Yay. Well, pretty remarkable he didn't get her pregnant with the oops breeding, given he's got that much semen. So you were very lucky, Trish.
He wasn't, I think he was about 10 months then, maybe, you know, so maybe 11 months. I'm not quite sure.
Pat Swallows just had two puppies from her 10-month-old, so on day, I can't remember what day it was, but she shouldn't have gotten pregnant, but of course she did.
He nailed her that first time, but this time Posey made him work for it, because the first time put them together, because we had two naturals after the side-by-side. She would, you know, it's like, she'd growl, but I mean, it wasn't a super serious growl. So then we'd let them be together for about 20 minutes or so. Then we, you know, separated them and then put them back together a couple hours later. And she wanted to just kind of dance around, and then it was okay. So apparently not on the first date for her.
she wants him to work for it. Well, congratulations. So when does she do the 31st, right around Halloween? Or
No, she's November 7th. So Tracy's a week before.
The next week. Okay, great. So, yay.
So thanks.
Yeah, terrific news. That's wonderful. So I put, somebody asked about the stud supplement. It's Glycoflex Original. If the dog has joint problems, you can also use Glycoflex 2 or Glycoflex 3. But if it's just for semen, it's not a powder. It's a tablet. At least the ones I've always used have been a tablet.
And they love it. I make them do their sit pretties with it.
I love it. Yeah, it's a tablet, Erin, so you'll have to maybe work to get it down, but terrific. Green label. Green label. That's it. Yep. Terrific, guys. I think I got everybody. It was wonderful to see everyone tonight. Thanks for joining us. And sharing your experiences and your challenges. It's really helpful to all of us. So let's see, tomorrow is spay neuter. If you're gonna join us, we'd love to see you. And next Wednesday is potty training, 2:00. You'll get the reminder for that. And we'll be going over sharing everybody's ideas on potty training and sort of the process. And I will see you at the end of the month. I think it's the 28th for our last call, or our next call, not our last call, but our next call. Wonderful to see you. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Go buy your syringes. Bye.
I've already done it. It's cost me a lot of money on this call.
Sorry, Celeste. You bought a kilo of calcium. Bye, everybody.
5 kilos.